Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And this is John Romeri, your host, and this is Music from the Tower. And we're highlighting classical and sacred music, and we come to you from the wonderful campus of Christ Cathedral, the Tower of Hope. And today's guests, we have choral conductors par excellence here, Anne Tomlinson and Diana Landis from the Los Angeles Children's Choir. Welcome, Anne. Welcome, Diana. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure.
It is wonderful. Let me just read a few quotes about this amazing choir that you all conduct. The Los Angeles Children's Choir is one heck of a talented group of kids, says the LA Weekly. These young vocal talents never fail to impress, so check them out, says the Pasadena Weekly. It's a wonderful, wonderful, two wonderfuls, wonderful, wonderful chorus. They sing so well, they bring happiness and something beautiful to the opera, says Placido Domingo. Pretty nice words about a chorus. And so, Anne, tell us a little bit about this Los Angeles chorus choir.
Well, the chorus is now in its 31st season. It was begun by Rebecca Thompson, who herself was a school teacher and worked at Pasadena Presbyterian Church with a children's chorus. And something sort of unique about the LA Children's Chorus is that it began because they received an invitation to sing Benjamin Britten's War Requiem. And this was an invitation from Bill Hall to actually form a community children's chorus.
Wow.
And they had such a remarkable experience, they decided to stay together and formed the LA Children's Chorus. And 31 years later, we're still enjoying performing great masterworks and working with incredible children.
Well, I came to the 30th anniversary spring concert, and the founding conductor was there. Wasn't that wonderful?
And Rebecca has moved back to the Pasadena area.
Has she?
So
okay.
We're thrilled to have her with us, and
yes.
She does a lot of conducting on our behalf.
Oh, wonderful. Well, the choirs were amazing, but because it was a special concert, there were lots of choirs there. Diana, you also conduct one of the LA Children's Choirs. Tell us about yours.
Yes, I direct the Apprentice Choir, which is one of the training choirs in our bevy of ensembles at LACC. I was fortunate enough to be invited to direct that choir when Anne became the artistic director. So I got to start with
Anne. So partners in crime right from the start, you two.
I've seen the organization grow from Rebecca's beautiful beginning to just great artistry and excellence. I did take a hiatus for at least 10 years in between because of my young children and family,
yes,
responsibilities.
Families.
But fortunately, 5 years ago, they were in need of the Apprentice Choir Director again, and it was a time in my life when I could make the trek to Pasadena and be back with the family again. So
yeah. Oh.
I'm very grateful to be back on the conducting staff.
Well, there. And we were fortunate enough to hear almost really all the choirs. Were all the choirs there that night?
I believe so. We have 6 ensembles now. We began with about 25 singers.
Wow.
And now we have in the training division are the preparatory choir, apprentice, and intermediate. And then the performing division is concert choir, a group for high school girls, chamber singers, and for boys who are experiencing vocal change, the young men's ensemble.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about those in a coming segment. But how many children total?
In the core program, we have about 315 children, and then we also have a program in schools as well as a movement and music class for 6- and 7-year-olds on site.
Wow, wow. Well, we'll talk a lot more about that in a future segment, but this choir doesn't just sing for itself or sing its own concerts. They sing with the L.A. Phil. They sing with the L.A. Opera. They sing on TV. They sing all over the place. Tell us about some of these adventures.
Well, the great good fortune of having wonderful artistic partnerships throughout our city. My first preparation was for, I believe, Esa-Pekka Salonen. He was doing a beautiful piece, not often done, Stravinsky's Persephone. And he was enamored of our sound and sort of gave us the nod. And then we worked at the opera. I think Pagliacci was my first opera, but now we've done over 25 operas with them.
I just saw them in Tosca a few weeks ago. It was amazing. It's a bel canto sound. Tell our audience what a bel canto sound is, Diana.
Okay. Well, the bel canto sound means beautiful singing. It's an Italian term, and you know, the Italian singers aspired to that beautiful technique.
Well, everything Italian is wonderful.
Exactly.
Take
the
it from that
too.
Premise.
That's right. And one of the goals at the LA Children's Chorus is to teach healthy and beautiful singing. We don't want any children to strain their voices. We want to take a slow approach where they learn good breathing and posture and head voice and end up with leaving us with intact, beautiful voices.
That's a difficult thing in today's world, isn't mm-hmm. it? Our own diocesan children's choir is growing. It's just now 1 year old, finished mm-hmm. its first season. And trying to get them to sing, mm-hmm. They're finding a part of their voice they never knew existed. Do you mm-hmm. find that when they come to you at the beginning? They're singing in this chest sound. They're singing super low. And by the end of even our first year, it's like, well, can I be in the descants? Can I be at the top? You know, they can't wait to sing high. You know, it's a whole part of their voice they just don't know. And it's certainly not modeled anywhere else but great choirs like the LA Children's Choir. Artistic excellence is another thing that's a little watchword for you. So it's not just about singing. It's not just about, but it's also about music training. It's that inner beat. It's that all of that put together.
We hope that the children will grow as people and as musicians as well. Every piece of music we select, the children are encouraged to look deeply into the texts of each of their pieces. The songs are selected to help them develop vocal technique. And our hope is that even though they're young, they can take the first steps towards artistry.
Yes, it's so important. You're really developing the whole person. In another segment coming up today, we're going to talk about the philosophy of children's choirs. Just why would we want to bother with children's choirs and what's the point? Tell us about some of the tours. I also came last season as you were just ready to leave on a tour to Japan. What an amazing thing taking these children to a whole different country.
We travel with the concert choir every other year internationally, and in those opposite years, we're traveling around America. Our hope is that a child experiences at least two international tours while they're a member with us, if not more. And we try to alternate an expected destination someplace in Europe with something a little unexpected.
So well, was Japan very unexpected?
It was a welcome surprise.
Yeah.
We found the culture very much respecting children and loving to sing as well. And we ended that tour in Hiroshima.
Wow.
And we sang at the Peace Memorial. And the city actually sponsored an entire citywide children's festival of singing on our behalf. So we had the opportunity to meet seven other choirs from that city and sing together. It was the best of, I think, what international children can bring to young people in terms
yes.
of building compassion and understanding
and
for
what
others.
What a world could actually be. Yes. And Diana, you get to go along on these tours too?
Well, I was actually going to mention that I've been on three of the tours with Concert Choir. One tour I just got to go along to Brazil and because I knew an artist down there that was a bossa nova singer. And
oh,
it was
fun.
A thrill for me to hear the children sing with a Tom Jobim song with Betsy. But going to Japan for me was so moving. One concert, there was a Japanese flag and American flag hanging
wow.
behind the stage. And seeing the Japanese children, American children up there making music together when 70 so years ago we were bombing was quite moving, I think, to everyone in the audience.
Yeah.
And you hope that it will be a
yes,
good sign for the future.
That these children are,
yes.
are going to be part of a new generation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, LA Times says hauntingly beautiful, astonishingly polished, extraordinary in its abilities. This is one of the most foremost choirs in our country, and we're so proud to have you both here. Tell us a little bit about some of the music we're going to hear now. We're going to play several cuts on this program, and tell us about the first one.
The first is a religious work. It's the beautiful prayer to Mary, the Salve Regina. This is written by Josu Elberdin, just recently published, and a beautiful tribute to the power of Mary.
And so the choir doesn't sing all religious music, though, does it?
We sing religious music from a variety of different traditions. We'll hear a Hindu piece just a little
okay.
bit later. But we also sing art songs, songs based on fine poetry. And then, well, when I grew up, we called them folk songs from around the world to help them build curiosity about the world.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. All right. So here comes Salve Regina. We'll be right back with a lot more from the Los Angeles Children's Choir and our guests, Ann Tomlinson and Diana Landis. Stay tuned. This is Music from the Tower, and today we are finding out all about the Los Angeles Children's Choir, and our guests are Ann Tomlinson and Diana Landis. Before we talk more about the choir and its structure and its training programs and children's choirs, I want to talk about Ann and Diana. Let's talk about how you came to do this. Nobody grows up saying, I'm going to conduct children's choirs. So what was your musical like? Did you come from a musical family? Did you have a musical background? What was your educational structure? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I did grow up in a musical family. My father had thought about being a professional tenor, but then was called to the ministry. And our family were always encouraged to take piano lessons, were a part of the chorus at school and the orchestra. So I chose to take an undergraduate degree, and I loved pipe organ and studied pipe organ as well.
Excellent.
Popped over to Oberlin Conservatory and thought, well, I should really learn how to conduct the choir because I'll probably be in church music, and took a conducting class and really found an affinity for it. So I traveled to Northwestern University, where Margaret Hillis, who conducted the Chicago Symphony Orchestra course at the time, was teaching, studied with her. So I actually never took a music education course in my entire academic career, but I moved out to California, accompanied the founder, Rebecca Thompson, at a workshop, and she was looking for an accompanist, and then when they were expanding the program to include more choirs, she asked if I'd conduct. Then Rebecca and Dean moved out of the city, and they tapped me on the shoulder and said, would you try? And I said, I don't know if I will be any good, but I'll give it a whirl. So it's been a remarkable
journey. How many years later is that whirl going on here?
I woke up, and it's 20-something years later.
How does that happen? I don't understand. It's amazing how many guests have come on here and said, I somehow came from a family tied to the ministry. You know, I mean, we just had John Alexander recently. So many people say, and what an incredible link was, do you, your first memory of music making in the church?
It was. I was in the junior choir. Mrs. Charette was our conductor. Mrs. Charette was not as talented as Diana Landis at conducting young singers. So I'm grateful, though, that she gave her very best and taught me about what children could offer in worship.
Well, we often talk about that, too, that somehow, I mean, I know in my own upbringing, you know, I grew up in a little town in the middle of California. I'm sure the music making wasn't astonishing, you know, but everybody there somehow touched me, you know, and somehow there was just that spark. They just gave us enough taste of great music and hard work and to send us on our way, didn't they? It was amazing. Diana, how about you?
It's interesting because it is the people that touch our lives along the way.
Yes,
and
the mentors.
And I will mention that. My very humble background compared to all of you fine musicians, but my family was very musical, but didn't pursue me taking lots of lessons. So my parents both sang. They played trumpet. My mom played harmonica, ukulele. She had a great ear.
Gosh.
So my earliest memories and favorite memories are singing in the car and on our sailing trips and learning to harmonize. And
you're blowing my story about it all started in church. You're in the car with a harmonica.
Well,
okay.
And interestingly enough, is the faith tradition that I grew up in did not have choirs.
Wow.
I had grandparents who were organists, so I grew up hearing the organ, and we always went up and watched the organist and had soloists, but never sang in a choir, didn't know anything about choir. My dad played Norman Luboff choir recordings when I was growing up. I love the harmonies of all those cowboy songs.
Yeah.
And so I had those wonderful sounds in my ear, but it wasn't until I took violin from like fourth through eighth grade, but it wasn't until high school that at Newport Harbor High that Mr. Leslie Van Dyke, my conductor, I sang all 4 years and fell in love with choral music and thought, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. I always knew I loved singing, but this is what I want to do. So I had to really scramble to get, you know, keyboard skills up enough so I could get into music school. So I ended up at University of Southern California and was fortunate enough at a time that they had a music ed degree. So I studied music education with voice as my emphasis and did my fifth year, got my credential. And landed a teaching job right away in Saddleback Valley and directed choirs there and taught general music. And then I launched into Orff Schulwerk and the Kodály method. And every summer I would take, I feel like I'm on a trajectory of learning until I die.
Oh, me
and
too. Me
the,
too.
The blessing in it all has been working with people like Anne and Mandy Brigham on our staff. And, of course, Dr. Lamb at Our Lady Queen of Angels, where I do the children's choirs, and Lauren Wiebe, who I worked with the Irvine Press. I've had these incredible mentors along the way that continue to teach me. And so I'm just grateful. I've always loved kids, too. So that was a good fit for me to be with children.
And for me, I'm so grateful that the people who have touched my life, and I can't wait to give it away. You know,
exactly.
You just can't wait to share. I mean, I just came back from a convention. You've been at Chorus America recently. We're all just continually learning. I can't wait to spring on my choirs the newest technique I just got from the last workshop, and they're all moaning, going, oh, here we go. But it's amazing. The incredible gifts that people give us, and then just to be able to give it away.
Can I add one more thing to that?
You
that
bet.
It's really important. I always loved the choirs, but I remember one day I was down in Newport Beach directing at St. Andrew's Presbyterian, and my friend Steve Pilkington, who was the organist, had moved up to Pasadena Press, and he called me and said, you have got to get up there and see this woman. She's doing incredible things with children. And that was Rebecca Thompson.
Oh.
And I came up and started watching her. Tears were running down my face.
Oh.
And I thought, and she was really a mentor to many of us until she left. Before Anne came, she was teaching and giving workshops. And so we owe a lot to her as well for building up this children's choir culture here.
We'll have to get her on the show. You guys will all have to come back. Wouldn't that be fun? I'm so happy to hear that she's moving back to this area. That's fabulous. Well, and so you went off to college, and I'm in Anne's boat. I did not have any music ed courses. I take that back. I had string methods just because as an organist, I thought it'd be so cool to carry something besides shoes, you know, that I'd have an instrument to carry around the campus and look like I was somebody, you know, but, and that was an incredible thing until all of a sudden I'm carrying this string bass thinking, what am I doing here? But, then I went off to my very first position and they said, you want to teach in the school? And I said, oh, sure. I knew nothing about teaching in school, but somehow I suffered through and grew with the kids at the same time. But all of these wonderful backgrounds have brought us to choral music and children. And so what little spark led you to children's choirs rather than a high school choir or an adult choir or a church choir?
Two people, Rebecca Thompson, again, who saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I enjoyed working with the children. I had planned to maybe do university teaching of maybe organ and conducting. And so it was through her encouragement, but it was also Paul Solomonovich. After my first year of conducting the Los Angeles Children's Chorus, I asked if he would sit with me and talk because I was really agonizing whether I wanted to keep more broadly focused or maybe just focus on the children. And we had an amazing conversation, and I will never forget the last question he asked me was, "And do you love the children?" And he said, "If your answer is yes, then I encourage you to stay." And I thought about that a lot, and I thought, I really do love children. When you see the light come on in their eye, when they've accomplished something they didn't think they could, it's empowering them and introducing them to the beauty they have inside is the most remarkable thing I've ever experienced as a
teacher. Well, and you do it so, so well. This is about maybe our sixth or seventh show, and almost everyone somehow winds around to Paul Solomonovich. Mm-hmm. We have a whole show coming up about Paul Solomonovich mm-hmm. and the great mentor he was, including to me. I taught with him several years at Mount St. Mary College, mm-hmm. and he came to the cathedrals I served in St. Louis and in Pittsburgh and did choral festivals for us, and he was constantly sending me music. He'd say, "Try this piece of Morton Lawrence," and, you know, I'm here sure. it was, the Omanium. Just great music that he was sharing with me. "You got to try this," and we're trying to make out of the scratch on the page. You know, it wasn't Finale Days or any of that stuff. But Paul was a great. All of us have these great mentors, don't we? People who have touched our lives. Well, let's talk about another piece of music that you're going to share with us now.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we love to introduce children to a wide variety of music from differing religious traditions. We began with a Christian work, and now I'd like to continue with a piece that was written by Gustav Holst, inspired from his study of the Sanskrit text, which he actually translated himself. This particular piece pays homage to Indra, who's the goddess of water in the Hindu tradition, and it's written for treble voices and harp, and it's really quite evocative. I hope you'll enjoy.
Oh, here it comes. And we'll be right back with a lot more about the training program of the Los Angeles Children's Choir, their audition process, maybe how you or your child might get involved with such an amazing, amazing group. All right, so we'll be right back with a lot more about LA Children's Choir. And this is Music from the Tower, and this is John Romeri, and we are with the directors of the Los Angeles Children's Chorus, which is a wonderful overarching name for all the choirs underneath you. This is Ann Tomlinson and Diana Landis, conductors of two of the many choirs. Would you tell us again about the structure of this program and how, if I were a listener, I might come to audition and be part of this?
Well, the Los Angeles Children's Chorus has classes for children who are 6 and 7 year olds, and they're
just
purposely
in music.
Just music and movement, just to teach them the joy of singing.
All right.
And introduce them to a little bit of, you know, do and mi and so, and a little bit of music literacy.
For those of you who don't have radio vision, she was actually giving us Kodai symbols at the same time. Okay, good.
And then what we call our core program has six ensembles for children as old as 8 all the way through 18. And they are put into a course that we feel will be just the right challenge for them. And those would be the preparatory course, apprentice, intermediate, concert choir, chamber singers for older girls, and young men's ensemble for those guys experiencing vocal change.
Well, that's a nice way of saying that, huh? Rather than get out. Yeah. So you're not necessarily just by grade. Seventh graders aren't in this choir and eighth graders aren't in that choir.
No, it really is. Membership in each ensemble is determined by their vocal development, their choral understanding, and a lot of how much music literacy they've gained over the year. We do have classes that hopefully will teach them how to open a piece of music and read it as easily as they read a book.
Yes, it's about literacy, and it's about singer versus musician sometimes, isn't it? You know, in the musical world, that's, you know, always a problem that singers often, I'll have a staff singer audition, and here comes a person who has a master's in voice performance and can't sight read a thing. You know, can't make their way through a brand new piece. Their prepared piece is amazing. You know, so it's fabulous that you're giving all this kind of training. Tell us about the auditions. What are they like?
We just finished our auditions early in June.
And does every child re-audition each year?
So there's auditions and there's vocal evaluations. So evaluations are for all of our singers. For instance, with my apprentice choir, I had 68 this year. And when the spring concert was over, the following week, they came to me and to our intermediate director, Mandy Brigham, and they came in groups of 5, and they vocalized for us individually, and they sang a little bit from some of the repertoire to show that they had actually memorized it. It looked like they did the performance. And then during that evaluation, we can assess whether they're ready to move on to the intermediate choir or possibly should do one more year in the apprentice choir. So that's the evaluation that we do for our ensembles that are in place. But then we hold outside auditions for any children up to about the age of 12.
Are you listening out there in radio land? You, too, could be part of the L.A. Children's Chorus.
And we usually hear about 100 children, and we place children in the preparatory choir, some in the apprentice, now and then a couple in the intermediate, maybe one or two might go to concert choir, but those spots usually are taken up from our present members.
Yeah.
But it's
harder to get to the top.
Yeah. Right?
And what happens when somebody comes and they're older and you see that they don't have the skills? That always breaks my heart. You know, here, when the fourth grader comes, you see potential. But when an eighth grader comes, a ninth grader comes, and you see that nobody, and they tell you, oh, I've been in my church choir for 4 years, and they can't, what's this symbol? I don't know. You know, it's a treble clef or an eighth note or something. And they don't know any of those things. All we've done is sing, and we've sung by rote, and we, you know, stood up, and Mom took a picture of us at children's choir. So we've accomplished our goals, and that's it. So it's so exciting, you know, when a student comes and they really do have those skills. And it sounds like you at L.A. Children's Chorus are giving them those skills.
We really put a strong emphasis so they can become independent musicians as well. We love having them in the choir, but we want them to head home and open a new piece of music and be able to enjoy it themselves.
Does every child, are you encouraged to take music lessons on some other instrument besides voice?
We find it very, very helpful. In fact, many of our students do take instrumental lessons in string instruments. Obviously, lots of piano and other wind.
And is that offered through your program, or you just encourage them to go off and find it?
They would need to do that on their own.
On their own. So why children's choirs? What's the big deal here? Why wouldn't I wait till I get into high school and join the high school choir? Or why would I want to send my child to a children's choir program?
I believe when you hear the voices of a well-trained children's chorus that it speaks almost directly into the heart, like no other musical offering on the planet. seeing young artists sing with beauty, with poise, with understanding, to me, it's one of the most hopeful things that I see in our world. And when they join their voices with other people, learning the team building skills we all hope the children will have, fine listening to one another, offering their voice, but not ever letting their voice overwhelm any other person's voice, I think it's a model for what our society could be.
Yes, and breathing together, working together, you really become one unit, one giant unit. And Diana, I know you do the children's choir at Our Lady Queen of Angels. Mm-hmm. And tell us about that. What's it like working in a children's choir program in a parish?
Well, on one perspective, I treat them just the same as I treat my apprentice choir.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, yeah. They're children. Maybe I have some that are older. But whatever ages they are, I have the same standards for both choirs. The difference is, of course, that the children in my church choir are not auditioned. Anyone off the street can be in that choir. Most of the children in the choir at Our Lady Queen of Angels go to that parish. So that would be the common denominator. But they're all, you know, many of them don't study an instrument. So they come with maybe less experience.
Yeah.
But still looking for repertoire that enhances their musical growth, still trying to do music learning as well within the rehearsal. We don't have a separate musicianship class. And my association with Queen of Angels began back in 1988 when Patricia Lamb asked me if I wanted to just teach music to their religious education program. It was a little after-school job, and I had millions of jobs at that time, you know.
And all musicians had millions of jobs.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those years. And I had a four-month-old son, and they let me bring him, and they fed him candy, I think, while I did this job. And I was actually directing choirs at another church, at Irvine Presbyterian at the time. But over the years, Dr. Lamb, who was directing the music at the church, doing all the weddings and funerals, and teaching full school, K through 8, and the children's choir, she started handing things off to me, peeling away those responsibilities. So up until a year ago, June, I then took over the whole school and taught music K through 8 and then did the two children's choirs. I've stepped down from the school now and I'm just focused on the children's choirs and class for second graders and hope, you know, too, that these children will also grow to love music and someday maybe sing in their adult choirs.
Yes, and in the meantime, mm-hmm. sing in the diocesan children's choir.
And we do have one.
I know you do.
We made our calendar for next year, and you don't know this, but we already calendared a day that we're coming here.
Oh, great.
At your invitation.
Yes,
to sing with you.
So we want all parish children's choirs and adult choirs to come visit us here at Christ Cathedral. Mm-hmm. We love having visiting choirs and certainly our congregation, and we have lots of visitors in the pews from Disneyland and elsewhere that love to hear all the music that comes here to Christ Cathedral. Well, all of this is just an amazing gift that you're giving these children, that wonderful sense of ensemble, of singing together, and it just, whether it's at a parish level or at the incredible level of the LA Children's Chorus, it's a great gift. And it really is going to give us some singing adults, is the hope, isn't it? That whether it's in the parish or just in children's choirs or community choruses or whatever it is, that there's going to be singing adults in our culture. It's hard to come by, isn't it? You even go to the baseball games and there's not very many people singing the national anthem. You go in other countries or you see the soccer games on TV and everybody's singing at the top of their lungs. I see it here with our ethnic parishes as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very different in the Spanish Mass than the English mumblers, you know. the Spanish people just sing out, you know, whatever it is, and the same with the Vietnamese. But in our English culture, it's a little harder to come by, so it's great that we're giving these kids this sense of doing that. Well, Diana, you're going to play a piece from the Apprentice Choir now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the apprentices work mostly in unison, singing to develop their skills, a little bit of two-part. Actually, this year we tackled a three-part, and they really astounded me, but we don't normally do that. So this piece is a unison piece by Purcell. It's called In These Delightful Pleasant Groves, and what's interesting, it features two violinists who are members of the Los Angeles Children's Chorus, or one, I guess, has graduated. So that was kind of fun to have some of our alumni and one of our present members playing violin with us. Our accompanist is Dr. Mitsuko Morikawa, and this is In These Delightful Pleasant Groves.
And so we're going to hear These Delightful Pleasant Groves from this wonderful apprentice choir conducted by Diane Landis, and we'll be right back with a lot more from LA Children's Chorus. This is Music from the Tower, and this is our final segment with our wonderful guest from the Los Angeles Children's Chorus, Ann Tomlinson, the artistic director and the overall boss of the deal, boss of the organization, and Diana Landis, the conductor of the Apprentice Choir and a longtime friend of Anne's. And it sounds like you two are great partners in crime, is what it sounds like. And let's talk a little bit more about the accomplishments. This group has sung with everybody and everywhere. So tell us some more about the accomplishments, commissions that you've done, recordings that you've made, TV programs you've been on. Let's hear about all that exciting stuff.
The children have remarkable opportunities. If they're a member of the Los Angeles Children's Chorus, we frequently perform at the opera. In fact, very soon, early in August, a group of us will be preparing for Carmen, which opens the LA Opera season. So we're excited about that. Also, very early in September, we'll be singing at Walt Disney Concert Hall under the baton of Grant Gershon, as the L.A. Master Chorale presents LACC as they sing Carmina Burana, which, of course, is one of the most popular choral pieces.
It really is.
Of all time.
It's in every choral's repertoire, you know. I think it's just, you know, to pay for all the other concerts we want to do.
For sure. In December, we have a tradition of sharing with the Pasadena Symphony Orchestra, in which they do a whole beautiful concert of candlelight and carols, beautiful pieces for orchestra and children's choir, handbell, adult choir as well. And this is my last season with the chorus coming up, and the LA Philharmonic graciously is presenting all of the choirs of the Los Angeles Children's Chorus on the Sounds About Town program on Sunday, December 3rd. So you'll be able to see all the choirs at Disney Hall.
Oh,
which we're very
my
excited
gosh,
about.
What a wonderful occasion that will be. It'll be really special. Like every chorus that's losing a conductor who's been with them so long, I'm sure there's lots of just angst about you leaving and what's next for the LA Children's Choir. What are other things coming up?
Well, we'll be so busy the next year. I don't know that many people will have a chance to think about it.
Bet they're going to. Do you agree, Diana? I think they're all going to be thinking about it.
There's never a dull moment.
In February, we'll be down at Walt Disney Concert Hall again in the 100th anniversary celebration of the birth of Leonard Bernstein.
Wow.
The Philharmonic is mounting a stage production of his Mass, which is a very evocative piece, very unique to the genre.
In Philadelphia, a few years ago. It was amazing. And the American Boy Choir was the
they're phenomenal.
Choir. They were great.
And then two more concerts will keep us busy through this season. The LA Philharmonic is a co-commissioner of a brand new opera called A Trip to the Moon. It's being written by Andrew Norman. It actually just premiered in Berlin, and it's based on the model of Benjamin Britten's operas that are to bring children and professional musicians together to present. And in Berlin, they didn't use a structured children's chorus. They used children that they gathered from the Syrian immigrant community to be the children's.
Powerful.
So I'm looking for that.
And where will that be?
It was premiered in Berlin. It now goes to London, and then in March it will have its U.S. premiere here in L.A. And they're telling me they want 150 children on the stage for this opera.
Great.
So it's going to be quite an amazing.
That'll be exciting.
It will be a lot.
And terrifying all at one time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And will that be at the L.A. Cathedral, or will that be at Disney Hall?
That will be at Disney Hall.
Okay. Yeah. I went to the Noah's Flood this year at the L.A. Cathedral, and that was also amazing. A wonderful production. And when we open the cathedral here, we're hoping that they will share those performances here in Orange County.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
So, yes, so, as long as they whipped it all up, they might as well have another great cathedral to do it in. We have so many things we're looking forward to once our building finally opens, and certainly having the L.A. Children's Chorus to come down and sing for us would be very, very special. We want that to happen. Diana, what do you think is going to happen to this place when Anne leaves?
Oh, gosh. Don't get me started.
I know. It's going to be...
It's going to definitely be a change. And I find that I'm hanging on to everything this year. I've learned so much from Anne, and trying to treasure it all in my heart and keep that going when she's not there. So
yeah.
It's a bit emotional, but... I'm sure happy for her that she'll be experiencing some new musical adventures and experiences in life as well. So...
Yes, well,
very
I'm
grateful.
Sure you'll be in demand every place doing choral festivals and clinicians and all sorts of other work. What are some of the commissioned pieces that this chorus has brought to life? You know, that's always a great joy, is bringing a brand new piece to life.
Early in my tenure with the chorus, we commissioned Paul Gibson to write two pieces for us. Paul is he still singing?
You know, At the time, he was doing secretarial work at Our Lady Queen of Angels for Dr. Patricia Lamb. It was a part-time job, and he was a composer. And
now, you heard that first right here at Music from the Tower.
I gave his name to Anne, and he ended up writing this beautiful Dona Nobis
Paul
Pacem.
Has a couple of pieces in my choral series from the cathedral, and I just listened to a piece of his maybe two or three days ago. And a Salve Regina, and it was absolutely gorgeous work. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. So you commissioned a piece for children's chorus by him?
Dona Nobis Pacem was the first piece, and then we enjoyed his work so much and getting the chance to know him that for our 15th anniversary, he did three pieces for us called Sweet Alice, and they're three different poems by Lewis Carroll, the Jabberwocky, The Walrus and Carpenter, and it's just the most clever writing in that particular piece. And so that's been a lot of fun. A couple years ago, we took a bold step and commissioned Mark Gray, who is a minimalist composer. I just wanted the children to learn a little bit about that musical technique, and we partnered with a woman who knew Afghan children's stories. So we told an Afghan children's story through the children's chorus, which was quite a remarkable
thing. Given these children is remarkable. How about other children's choirs? Have you piled up with Toronto Children's Choir or some of the other great choruses around our nation?
We frequently tour to visit those choirs and host them here as well. We're always enjoying singing with other children, and not just from this country. We've had hosted choirs from Finland. We'll be soon hosting the Montserrat Choir.
Yes, just this past summer we had the Montserrat Choir.
Yeah. And it's a remarkable opportunity when children who maybe don't speak the language sing together.
Yes.
And they realize that this is a wonderful way to communicate.
You know, people will say, how do you play the Vietnamese mass? Well, music is music. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no clue what it says, but I'm playing away, you know.
There you go.
It's just a great, it's a great thing. Well, Diana, what other projects are coming for you in your own career?
Well, with the Apprentice Choir, they take a day trip every year. So in the process of learning how to tour, they just go for the day. Intermediates go for the weekend, and Concert Choir takes off for a week or 12 days. We've had wonderful collaborations with other children's choirs. They're usually only an hour or 2 hours away because we go by bus.
Yeah, maybe you'll find your way to Christ Cathedral campus.
We would love to do that.
Come and sing
with
our diocesan children.
That would be a fabulous outing for us.
Oh,
thank you.
Be a wonderful day. We'll tour them around the campus and have a little lunch.
Perfect. I'd love them to meet you.
Yeah.
Because it's been a privilege for them to sing under the baton of other conductors. And I especially love it when we find someone like Dr. Nick Strimple at USC or Rich Messenger from, you know, old Pacific Chorale in high school. And they go, oh, no, Diana, I don't direct children's choirs. Please, please, no. And then I said, just treat them like your choir. And they get in front of the children, and the children grow so much from working with these fine musicians.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the highlights, I think, for my young singers and all of our singers is LA Children's Chorus hosts a master class every year. We also have retreats in the fall, and at both of those, we bring in artists to work with our children.
Mm.
Last year, and actually a couple of times, we've had the wonderful, gifted Scott Melvin, who is the director at Modern Day High School.
Yes.
And he has really brought the joy of singing with fine artistry and musicianship to our singers. And we have been so grateful for his work
his
with our kids.
His Modern Day choir is so wonderful.
He's quite gifted.
Very much.
So it's wonderful to have him in our neck of the woods. This coming year, we're so looking forward to working with Maria Guinan, who is a colleague of Maestro Dudamel's, both from Il Sistema program in Venezuela. And we worked with her. My apprentices have not worked with her yet, we've observed. So we are really looking forward to having a chance to gleaning from her energy and her fine musicianship and creativity this coming year.
Well, Anne, what a program. And Diana, what an amazing operation you've got going here. 400 great kids coming right through the door. And I can't wait for this season's concerts. You've really gotten us going. And to give the little website of where they might to be able to find your materials.
Oh, we welcome you to visit us at www.lachildrenschorus.org.
So that's a place we'll make sure it's on our website as well here at ChristCathedralMusic.org, and that you can find out a lot more about this great. Do not miss their concerts. I just love them. Now, all right, let's hear one more piece of music. Tell us about it.
Well, I think we'll go out today with a Venezuelan folk song. So we're singing in a Venezuelan dialect of the Spanish language. The piece is called Yo Le Canto, and it talks about I love to sing all day long. I love to sing with a drum. I love to sing.
Well, and if you're a member of LA Children's Chorus, you love to sing. And it's obvious when you see these great kids. Diana Landis, Anne Tomlinson, thank you so much for being on Music from the Tower. This has been a great program, and I hope we'll have you back a lot more and maybe even to a little remote from with the kids at some point. This is John Romero, your host from Music from the Tower. And until we meet next time, please get out and enjoy a live performance of some great music. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, John.